Good morning. Welcome as we celebrate yet again here in the season of Easter. And it is the seventh Sunday of Easter at Fair Oaks, the personal care home where I work. Somebody a couple years ago said, can we sing Christ the Lord is Risen today every Sunday during Easter? And so we have. We've been singing it as our opening hymn every Sunday during Easter. Well, last week, two of the residents said, can we please not sing that again this week? So we're not singing Christ the Lord is Risen today here or there, but Christ is indeed risen every day. Is Resurrection Day, and we're glad that you're here with us. One announcement, a session will meet this Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock on the Zoom, and I know that Danita had an announcement today. Yes, Miss Danita. Amen. If you're interested in participating in Danita, is interested in getting a sewing ministry here together at church, please, yeah, see Danita or see me about that. I will not be participating. I got a D in sewing. And thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, let us prepare our hearts and minds and our bodies, too, for worship. I invite you to take a deep breath in. Breathing in and being aware of the Holy Spirit that flows to you, through you, and then out to the world. And then exhaling anything that does not serve God's purpose of love. And please join me in our call to worship. Let God rise up, sing to God, lift up a song to the one who rides upon the clouds, the Holy One. Be exultant before God.
Let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy.
Let God rise up. Ascribe power to God, full of majesty and power.
Let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy.
Let God rise up. Awesome is God in the sanctuary, who gives power and strength to the people.
Let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Blessed be God.
And please rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, To God Be the Glory, number 634.
Thank you. us pray. Righteous God, you offer the newness of life, and we cling to dry, desolate places. We cling to the ways of the world and retreat from witnessing to your goodness. We allow hopelessness to direct us. Help us, O God, to believe that resurrection is not a one-time event, but a way of living. Let us live new lives every day, filled with your grace, as we generously share your tenderness and love. Amen.
Beloved, every moment is a new beginning. Every moment, the Christ empowers us to turn from our old ways and embrace the truth that was, is, and always will be, that we are created by love, taught to love, called to love, and renewal and hope is ours through the always risen Christ. Let us embrace this good news. Amen. Share together an expression of our belief. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's peace and love. Peace be with you. Much love.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I was interested in listening to what Pastor Ng was saying about this being the seventh Sunday of Easter. Every Sunday is a little Easter, according to Martin Luther, but we have big Easter, and we celebrate seven Sundays of Easter, seven Sundays in Eastertide. However, and you know this because we talked about it, this past Thursday was Ascension Day. And if you're a Catholic or an Episcopalian, that means something because they can get Catholics in church on Thursday. Can you imagine? And Lutherans, some Lutherans and Anglicans, they celebrate the 40th day after Easter when Jesus was taken back away from us, and it's called Ascension Day. Now, John Calvin, who was the world's first Presbyterian, didn't think much of Ascension Day. He said, our whole lives are lived under the rubric and the message of Ascension. And so rather than just have a day, it's always, it's all the time. So Presbyterians, you couldn't get them in church on Thursday anyway. So John Calvin was probably correct in not having a special day. You, however, say every Sunday that you come to church in a Presbyterian church, most Presbyterian churches, you said the Apostles' Creed. And so you acknowledged Ascension. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. There's over 60 or so references in the Bible to the right hand of God. The right hand is God's authority and power and rule. So we believe that Jesus ascended and is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. In other words, we believe because of Ascension Day, some churches have today as Ascension Sunday. I don't know if you know that. So Presbyterians will be acknowledging this as Ascension Sunday, as well as the seventh Sunday of Easter. So we get to pick which one you want to emphasize. So anyway, here we are on the seventh Sunday of Easter and Ascension Sunday, if you want to call that, but you've already called it because you've already said the Apostles' Creed, that you believe that Christ has ascended and is at the right hand of God, and therefore all rule and authority, we are all living under the rule, the authority and the power and the sovereignty of Christ, who lived, was crucified, risen, and now ascended. What does that mean? It means Christ is in charge. And we can be grateful. And we can be thankful for that. So happy Ascension Sunday. Is that okay I said that?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and then you have to tell them about the furniture sale at Levin's for Ascension Sunday. Levin's is having a furniture sale.
Well, I didn't know that. But they call it the Ascension Sunday. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. We gather to pray today. Let's remember to continue to pray for Sandy Lutterly, who is under treatment for cancer. Jim Eichner has been in the hospital and I believe is now home. And he misses us and we miss him, sitting in his usual place over here to the right. Jane Chappelle probably will come home from the hospital tomorrow.
Tomorrow she's going to come home.
Tomorrow?
She's texting us and saying.
Following open heart
surgery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Following open heart surgery. So we remember these and others that we love as well. So on this Ascension Sunday, the seventh Sunday of Eastertide, we join our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, we come today reminded of your greatness and glory, your sovereign power, your eternal purposes for us and for the world. And we give you thanks that we see this so wonderfully expressed in Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, ascended. And so we thank you for the wonder of ascension, that marvelous yet mysterious moment when the apostles looked up, gazing heavenward, wondering, what do we do now? Show us what we do now. We thank you for the way that ascension brings the earthly ministry of Jesus to this place, signifying his oneness with you. We thank you that through Christ's ascension, Jesus is Lord of all, no longer bound to a particular place or time, but with us always, reaching even to the ends of the earth. Gracious God, forgive us for so often failing to grasp the wonder of ascension. For each living day is ours to live in the power and wonder of Christ's ascension. So forgive us if our vision is too small. Forgive us if our thoughts are too narrow. Forgive us if our love is too weak. Forgive us if we are nervous about our witness. Show us the fullness of what Christ has done. Give us a deep sense of wonder and a stronger faith, a greater understanding of all that you have done and will do. Fill us with wonder that we can speak your truth. Give us a voice, the words, to proclaim and celebrate an ascended Lord. In a world where greed and power and violence seem to be in control, we thank you for the wonder of ascension, reminding us that Christ is Lord of all, at your right hand, in the authority of your great goodness. We pray for those not here today because of recent and continuing illness or other reasons of brokenness, separation. We lift up to you now the names of those that we love and know. And we pray for the Tyler that has been offered to us to pray for today, whose mother passed away and family has many challenges. And so for Tyler, who has been offered to us by Peggy to pray for, we pray for him and others. In silence now we pray. O God, we follow Jesus today because we have found him to be the way, the truth, and the life. And by following him, we have experienced wholeness, fullness. Thank you for all of the blessings that are ours because of him. May Christ be alive today, ascended today, reigning today, for us and for all. We bring our prayers in the name of this same Jesus, and we pray as he taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And let us rise together in body or spirit and sing verses 1 and 2 of hymn number 260, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. Be seated. I thought that was an ascension hymn. That's a good one. I haven't heard that one in a long time. Our ushers will now come forward to receive this morning's offering, but please know if you're visiting with us, you're under no obligation to give. You are our guest.
Thank you.
We return a portion of what we have been given to you, and may these gifts be used for the good of all your creation.
Today's reading is from 1 Peter 4, 12 to 14, and 5, 6 to 11. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith. For you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
You. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was in my first semester in college, just finished it, when Bart Simpson came into all of our television homes. Anybody ever watch The Simpsons? That has been on for 37 years. It's the longest running scripted American TV series. It's 10 years older, longer. It's been around 10 years longer than Law and Order Special Victims Unit. That is saying something. So about 7 years into The Simpsons, I began my internship at the North Hills Community Baptist Church. And our head pastor, Pastor Tim, his favorite show was and is probably still The Simpsons. And Tim's kids were very young at the time. And I remember Tim saying, he always used Simpsons illustrations in his sermons, and so I think he'd be very proud that after 37 years, I've even titled a sermon after The Simpsons. But he said he loved watching The Simpsons with his kids because they were enticed by the cartoonish look at it, but they weren't old enough to understand exactly what was being said. So today, if you look at the sermon title, you'll see that what I hope we'll consider today, the reason why Homer Simpson is different from God. And there is more than one difference. But there's one really major one. And that came to mind when I was reading again the letter from Peter, 1 Peter. Lynn read a portion of it here. If you were with us just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at another passage from 1 Peter. And this letter can be described in a way as a pep talk. It's definitely a love letter. And it's a letter written to people living in many different places in Asia Minor, but all of them resident aliens, isolated without rights, all of them on the margins, vulnerable people, people without a real home. And the biblical scholar John Eliot described this letter as that which gives a home for the homeless. Because when folks first heard or read these words, they may hopefully have been taken into their hearts the comfort and the encouragement that the author intended. I want to focus on verse 7, chapter 5. You may know it even by heart. Cast all your anxiety on God, because he cares for you. God cares for you. And you can put your own name in there. God cares for you, Cliff. God cares for you, Debbie. Now, it's a sweet statement, isn't it? And if I asked Mr. Cliff to type that verse into the Google right there, you know what you would find? I know, because I did it. You would find that verse on keychains and t-shirts and bookmarks and coffee mugs and necklaces and wall hangings. And some are 20% off right now. But I gotta say, I don't know about you, but I know about some people who are very dear to me, many people who have shared with me. I know for myself, sometimes it's really hard to internalize that God cares for you, for me. And it was hard for the ancestors living in the first century. And I'm sure it was hard for our ancestors living through the Black Death and colonization of the Americas, World War I, the Spanish Influenza, the Great Depression, World War II. Sometimes it's hard for us to internalize when we get that phone call in the middle of the night with horrible news that changes our lives forever. It's hard for us sometimes to believe that God cares when we hear someone say to us that the disease is aggressive. When someone says, "I'm leaving you." And I'm sure we could finish those sentences with our own personal heartbreak. God cares? Well, my beloved, the simple and truthful answer is yes. And that brings us back to Homer Simpson. And if you aren't familiar with the Simpsons, Homer, he's the father figure. He is the father. And he's mostly depicted as a bumbling, slow-witted, beer-guzzling, donut-eating goof. And he has the attention span of a gnat. But the Simpsons' eldest daughter, Lisa, she takes after her mom. And she's a thoughtful student, and she's a thoughtful human, and she has a tender heart. And in one episode, she comes home from school, and she is devastated because she's found out that her beloved teacher has taken a job in another town, and he'll be moving on. And Homer asks her, why are you so glum, Lisa? And she explains this. She says, the best teacher, the man who helped me believe in myself again and believe in education. And Homer just says, who cares? To which Lisa says, I knew you wouldn't understand. And Homer's indignant. Hey, just because I don't care doesn't mean I don't understand. And that's the thing. You can imagine what Lisa thought when she heard that. I bet you can. Because maybe you felt that way too. Because as human beings, we've been loved imperfectly and we've loved imperfectly. And there have been times in our lives when we were going through and maybe felt very alone. Does anyone understand? Maybe. But does anybody care? Maybe those times, if you've ever woken up at 2 or 3 in the morning with anxiety sitting on your chest like an elephant, or you've walked through the mall and seen the smiling faces around you while you're carrying your grief and your anxiety and you're thinking, am I the only one who isn't living my best life now? Does anybody care? Does anybody care and understand? Well, this letter, the author of 1 Peter, it's a reminder that indeed, the whole Christian story demonstrates that God does care. And in fact, as we know God best through the person of Jesus, God understands, because God loved us so much that God became one of us and experienced what we experienced, the pain and the loneliness and the isolation. So we believe in a God who both cares and understands. But how do we make this more into than just a bumper sticker or a button? How do we experience the understanding care of God? How does that show up in the world? When Jesus, the person, has ascended, will we do that through one another, my beloved? That's what the church is. It's not the building. It's not the steeple. It's the people. And we love and try to love one another. We're going to do it imperfectly. And we may not be able to understand one another's particular pain, but we can keep trying to be as caring and loving as possible to stand alongside each other. Compassionately, tenderly reminding one another that no child of God carries that anxious heart alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. And I invite you to rise as we sing together, "You Shall Go Out with Joy," number 80. Please rise in body or in spirit.
Thank you. And now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, all those whom you love, and all those who falsely believe that no one loves them, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.